And that is the peace that will be on earth. Like we sing in some of the Christmas songs, goodwill to men and peace on earth. That peace will come. Not here yet, as we know. This world is about as unpeaceful as it can get right now, isn't it? But that's going to change. So remember, in the first part of the chapter, we read about Bethlehem Ephrata last week, where God prophesied of the place of Jesus Christ's birth, that he would be from old, from everlasting. And then earlier in the book, we saw God prophesy of the kingdom and, of course, of the coming judgment. But tonight is the reminder that the one who will be born in Bethlehem Ephrata is the one who will bring peace to earth. So notice Micah chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. Just have to find it in my Bible first. It was here last I checked. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Okay, there it is, chapter 5, verse 5. The Bible says, "And this man shall be the peace, when the Assyrians shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod and the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land and when he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard." So this man shall be the peace. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word and the privilege to study it. Use it now in our lives, please, in a powerful way. And just again, a reminder of our wonderful Savior who's coming. And Lord, may it make us excited to serve you until he does. So we commit the service to you in Christ's name. Amen. So as we saw earlier in the book, the judgment coming on Samaria and Judah in chapters 1 to 3 and chapters 4 and 5, the coming Messiah and his glory and his kingdom. And then later in the book, God will exhort Israel to repent. But this is the end of chapter 5, where God is reminding us again that the one who will be born in Bethlehem, the one who will bring a kingdom, will bring peace to the earth. This man shall be the peace. He not only is going to bring peace, he is the peace. Amen? And you know, the world, if you go to Isaiah chapter 2, the world has been looking for peace and talks all the time about peace, but things just keep getting worse. More wars, more fighting. And why is that? Well, because Satan is the god of this world, and mankind is wicked, and we're not going to be able to bring peace in ourselves. It just isn't going to happen. But notice Isaiah 2, verse 4, "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." This is a prophecy of the kingdom, where God says man won't even need weapons during the kingdom. Why? Because Jesus Christ will be ruling and reigning, and it'll be a peaceful kingdom. Now go to Isaiah 9, while you're in Isaiah. I know we've been turning here a lot, but this is a beautiful passage about Jesus and his deity. Notice verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's Jesus. the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order and to establish with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The Lord, the zeal of the Lord hosts will perform this. So Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, will bring a government of peace. As we saw there in verse 7, this man shall be the peace. He will bring peace on earth. Back to our passage, Micah 5, notice in verse 6. Israel speaking here, and they say that he will waste Assyria and the land of Nimrod. And he said, thus shall he deliver us. There's going to be a big battle. And Jesus wins. Amen. And the whole, at the end of the tribulation period, the whole world is going to gather against God's people. And it's going to look like an unwinnable war. And Jesus comes and wins it on behalf of his people, Israel. Notice that Zechariah chapter 14, and we'll see a prophecy about this, about Jesus delivering Israel out of the hands of the nations. Zechariah chapter 14, look at verse 3. It says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. So God will actually fight for Israel. Now right now they're scattered, as we'll read later. But there will come this day when it'll be a battle basically of God's people against the world. And Jesus will come and fight for Israel. So back to our passage, verse 7, it says, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord. Well, this is already taking place now, isn't it? Israel's scattered everywhere. The Jews are all over the world. Verse 8, and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles. This is happening now, where Israel is literally scattered abroad. Now, if you would look at Isaiah 11, verse 12, we'll see where God simultaneously, when Jesus returns, not only fights against the Gentiles for on behalf of Israel, but regathers Israel from all parts of the world back to their promised land, which they've been waiting for. Isaiah 11, look at verse 12. The Bible says, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The dispersed. They are currently dispersed around the world. And God is going to gather them from all over the earth back to their promised land. Back to our passage, verse 9. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. Now, Daniel, when he interpreted the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had in Daniel 2, let's turn there. I can't wait to preach through Daniel. That's one of my favorite Old Testament books. You're going to love it. But notice Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, where he gets to the end of the image of the four great kingdoms and then the rock coming down out of heaven and destroying all the other nations. Notice 2:44. It says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all those kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That's Jesus' kingdom. Notice it says it will destroy all other kingdoms. This happens when Jesus returns. He destroys all other kingdoms and sets up the one true kingdom that Israel's been waiting for, the kingdom of our Lord, the kingdom of David, the kingdom of peace. So back to our passage, verse 13. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. How sad that Israel was led astray way back under Solomon and has been astray since. But let's look at Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Where God explains that he is going to change Israel's heart. This in Jeremiah 31 is referred to as the new covenant. Remember, there's four unconditional covenants in the scriptures that God made to Israel, four major unconditional covenants. And this is the fourth of the four, called the new covenant. Notice verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. And down in verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and they will, and I will, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Israel will get a new heart as a nation, and they will worship the God of heaven. They will worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But go to Zechariah 13, where God explains that all of this, Zechariah 13, verse 9, doesn't happen until Israel has been through their chastisement. And it always keeps coming back to this. Notice Zechariah 13, verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. This ties in with Revelation, which teaches that two-thirds will die during the tribulation period. One-third will survive the fire of the tribulation and be rescued and enjoy the benefits that Jesus is talking about here. And then he finishes there in verse 15 of our passage, Micah 5, by saying, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen. And this we read about in Revelation 19. So let's turn over there. Revelation 19. Beautiful, exciting chapter, because it's still in the future, and it is the chapter that tells us about the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Amen. He's coming to the earth. And notice, starting in verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So Jesus came the first time as a babe. That's the first part of the chapter. He comes a second time to fight and make war. Quite different. Verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's Jesus. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You know who that is? That's us. And then verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. That's Jesus Christ returning to execute wrath, which is what Micah's prophesying here, that he will execute vengeance and fury upon the heathen. So they do turn on Israel halfway through the tribulation period. But by the end of the tribulation period, it's looking really grim for Israel. Jesus returns, rescues them, judges the heathen, and then sets up his kingdom of peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. And so the verses that we read about the plowshares and the pruning hooks, the swords and the plowshares and so forth, that's actually quoted at the United Nations, but the United Nations isn't going to bring that about and make it to where we don't need weapons anymore. Jesus is. Amen? This man shall be the peace. So remember, Jesus Christ doesn't just bring peace. He is the peace. There's a difference. Because true peace only comes from God, and Jesus is bringing the peace on earth that man's been waiting for. Now you and I here during this age, we're not going to see peace on the earth until we come back with Jesus. But we can have the peace in our hearts now. Amen? We're going to talk about that Wednesday night. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, is available to every believer through God's Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So we can have peace now in our hearts in the midst of tribulation. But the peace on earth, that has to wait a while. Well, it could only be 7 years away. If Jesus came tomorrow and took us to heaven, 7 years later, we could return with Christ and he will be the peace. So praise God that Jesus Christ, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, is also the Prince of Peace. He will be the peace. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Lord, we praise you.